from the outside, it looked like Grey Cup 103 came off and Winnipeg looked pretty good. Arash Madani, you were there. Your thoughts on not the game so much, but just the spectacle and Grey Cup week in Winnipeg?
Yeah, no, it was a solid Grey Cup week, Boom. You know, it was very... It was uneventful from a crisis standpoint, which first and foremost in any championship week, especially when the CFL is involved, you want to make sure of. But as has been the case all season, outside of the East Final, the game underwhelmed.
Yeah.
The game disappointed.
Now, what about
the game was far from a masterpiece.
You mentioned the controversy. What about the chainsaws? No chainsaws.
No chainsaws.
That's
the loggers weren't allowed on the field. Yeah, that was a CFL decision, though. That wasn't an organizing committee or a city decision.
Yeah, but they were urged by the Eskimos, were they not? That Ottawa shouldn't be able to bring their loggers to the game.
Yeah. Mm. Yeah. Why? Well, you add some authenticity and some Canadiana to it, huh?
But you're right. It was a 13-0 lead early, but you really felt like, well, Riley hasn't even had the ball yet. Good start, makes for a more intriguing game, but still going to be skeptical if this lead holds up.
Right, and in large part, it's because of that Eskimos defense, right? I mean, and Ottawa's defense was terrific, too. I mean, both were suffocating, both were overwhelming. And the real difference in the game, Boom, came from the Red Blacks defense. I mean, they opened up the game playing man-to-man, and that's when Riley was able to find his shots. I mean, 6.5 minutes come into the game, Riley finally into his first huddle. Well, he drives him down for a field goal. Then Burris has the interception. They come down with the touchdown. You're thinking to yourself, game on. But then Ottawa goes into his own defense, and with the extra defensive back in that secondary, the pressure was able to get to the Eskimos quarterback, and Riley just wasn't able to find much. But towards the end of the game, Ottawa went back into man-to-man coverage. And Riley said to himself, you know, I talked to him after the game, there was 6 minutes left, they're down two. They started to see in certain formations the Red Blacks going to man-to-man. He said, it's now or never. Now I got to go for it. They did back-to-back pass interference penalties that set up the touchdown, the game-winning touchdown.
What did you now? I know you talked. I saw on Twitter your comment about the final pass interference call that really put them in the position to get that game winning touchdown.
Yeah.
And I'll let you get to it. But do you believe that was that ball underthrown? And you also commented about what the league had said about pass interference calls on balls that were not thrown to the receiver.
So here's what happened in training camp way back in June. The league sent officials and the head of officiating, Glenn Johnson, to all the different camps. And they said, look, point of emphasis is going to be illegal contact. No more hand fighting between the defensive back with the receiver, or we're going to get you. And, you know, we're looking for PI, and obviously pass interference can be now challenged. But they also told the players that if a ball is woefully underthrown and the receiver can't make a play on it, but even if there's going to be some contact down the field, if we effectively view that uncatchable because it's so underthrown, we're not going to throw a pass interference flag. The issue is, Boom, they did all season. You know, so what they told the players, what the letter of the law is, are two different things. And by letter of the law, that has to be pass interference in which the rule is written, in which the spirit of the rule is set. But at the same time, you know, they came out and told the players different things.
Yeah.
I thought it was a brilliant little piece of coaching by Chris Jones.
I was just going to ask you. I was just going to ask you about that. You take that time out when you really don't need it, but it bought them time, and it went a long way to winning them that game.
You know what else is amazing? Jones did not have a successful challenge all season.
Yeah.
Gets to the West Final, absolutely did against the Stampeders last night. Probably the most important and successful challenge of the season.
I don't know that he's going to rank in best quarterbacks in Eskimo history or CFL history. And I said earlier, I'm going to keep Bo Levi Mitchell if I'm the Calgary Stampeders, but I'd be fine if Mike Riley was my team's quarterback. You got to love the way he plays and competes.
Yeah, you know, it's beyond what you see on the field. And this is kind of where my job fits. And I like to find out a little bit about what isn't on the surface. And I got lucky this week because Travis Luther was our analyst. He did a terrific job. But when Lule was the man in BC, winning the league most outstanding player and Grey Cup MVP, Mike Riley had fought for the number three job on that roster. But Mike and Travis became good friends. Travis stood in Mike's wedding this spring. But Riley would tell Travis, you know, joking around, but he's like, hey, I'm your backup at work, but I'm not your backup in life. And Mike Riley has that knack that even though he's the number three quarterback on a depth chart, so much of where you are in the football hierarchy and the pecking order, you know, kind of translates away from the field too. Riley wasn't like that. And guys gravitate towards that. You know, when they were 4-14 2 years ago, the core base of that team was Mike Riley, Odell Willis, Adarius Bowman, and Shamad Chambers. Well, wouldn't you know it, that Mike Riley is the Grey Cup MVP. Shamad Chambers is the top Canadian. Adarius Bowman was the most impressive threat on the field. And, you know, Odell Willis led that defense. But Riley Boone told them 2 years ago, remember this. Remember how bad this is. Remember how tough this is, because we have to go through this. And we're going to laugh about this when we have our success. And that 2013 season, the Eskimos had an 8-game losing streak and a 5-game losing streak. Amidst that 5-game losing streak, Riley comes over to Odell and says, hey, remember this, remember this. Odell's like, Mike, get out of my face. I don't want to hear this. Yeah. But then the light bulb went off. And Willis said, sometimes you have to look at yourself in the mirror, not the quarterback, not the offense, when things aren't going well. And lo and behold, they remember that last night. I spoke with Willis about it, Riley about it, and Chambers about it. They all remembered the hardship of what they went through, and Mike Riley was the leader that got them to a 2015 championship.
Chatting with Arash Madani on, obviously, Grey Cup yesterday. Eskimos win at 26-20 now. John Huffnagel put the water on the fire that he's not leaving. He's staying in Calgary. But what's it going to be for Chris Jones? Three CFL cities, three Grey Cup rings, and, of course, will be highly sought after as a coach GM type of a spot, because that's not exactly what he's got in Edmonton.
Let me correct you. Four CFL cities, four championship rings. Montreal, Toronto, Calgary.
Oh, Toronto, that's right.
And now Edmonton, boom.
Yeah, yeah.
Right? I mean, he broke into the CFL with Don Matthews in the Alouette.
Yeah, that's right, man.
And, you know,
he's going to run the table.
He's going to rival Kevin Glenn pretty soon. What's amazing about the Jones story first is, remember how nobody wanted him to be a head coach? How nobody would hire him to be coach? Here he is. His defenses are routinely among the best in the league. But they said, nah, he's too brash. Nah, he's not polished enough. Nah, he's not head coaching material. Oh, really? You took a 4-win team, you inherited a 4-win team and turned him into a 12-win team and a 14-win team and a champion, and now you're one of the most sought-after guys that the Saskatchewan Roughriders want to hire you as a general manager and head coach?
Yeah.
And it makes a lot of sense. He'd have full control of the operation. His salary likely doubles. He's already the main guy finding personnel on every defense he goes to. He was assistant general manager by title in Toronto. And the Riders need to hit a home run. And with Huffnagel out of the mix, what's left? There's John Murphy in Calgary, assistant GM. I suppose Brock Sunderland, the assistant GM in Ottawa. But going in a new stadium, with a fan base right now after what just happened this season, you need to sell something. And who better to sell than the Grey Cup winning coach who finds all these guys on that defense?
Yeah.
These next 48 hours are going to be very interesting.
So lasting thoughts on 2015. It is done. One of the best teams did win it. There was no Cinderella upset this year. What, as far as free agents beyond Chris Jones, what kind of significant change or moves might we see prior to next year?
Well, you're going to see, from a coaching front, you're probably going to see a new defensive coordinator in Toronto. I'm still suspecting there's going to be some kind of shakeup in BC. I don't see that thing settling. There's a free agent, the top Canadian in the Grey Cup last night. Shamad Chambers is up. Adarius Bowman, who is a game changer, he's up. You know, there are enough. Rob Bagg is up, Chad Owens is up, Ricky Ray is up, Trevor Harris is up. There could be some, you know, some new laundry on these guys. But fundamentally, boom, what we learned in 2015 is that this game needs to be fixed. This was perhaps one of the least entertaining on-field football seasons we can remember in quite some time. You know, and the league will tell you, oh, well, you know, scoring was up 8%, 6%. Well, that's fine. Didn't make the games any better. You know, penalties were up again. So what they have to focus on is finding a way, as a rules committee, to open up the game and make it better without throwing a flag every other snap. And somehow making this thing more watchable. Because there were a lot of times this season it wasn't. And, you know, you're trying to get it to a younger, skew to a demographic that's younger. You're trying to get more eyeballs on a television after ratings went down 15%. The league is far from crisis mode like it was in the 90s, but there are some warning signs here that you want to nip at the bud before it becomes something a little more severe.
Did you get out of Winnipeg yet, or are you enjoying the River
City? I am packing.
Sad to leave.
Packing and headed to the airport around noon. So,
Arash, my man, thanks for all the CFL updates this season. We do appreciate it. Safe travels, and we'll talk soon enough, I know.
All right, Boone, thanks.